Don't have time to read that research paper you saved? Chelsea and Olivia want to help you out. We know how it is. That's why we read it for you. Welcome to the Exercise Science Too Long Didn't Read podcast.
Hello.
Hi.
Last week we talked about nutrition and
where you get your protein
and how it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
This week, what are we talking about?
We're going to talk about the talk test and ventilatory threshold. What does that mean?
I don't know.
We'll find out.
We have some definitions though. Let's dive in. Ventilatory threshold is the point at which ventilation increases at a faster rate than VO2. VO2 is the volume of oxygen consumption. So this is said to show the lactate threshold during exercise. What is lactate threshold, you ask? You didn't, but I'm asking for you. It is the rate of which lactate is produced at a higher rate than it can be removed, resulting in muscle failure. This is typically when a person will or may want to vomit. My best friend is prone to vomiting. I shouldn't say prone. I've seen her do it once, but I don't really get to that. I might get a little nauseous, but I don't ever get to the point of actually, and I've seen her, we have exercised together and she has vomited. So that's unpleasant.
I've never done that, thankfully.
But you know, you have the masters, so explain this one to us a little bit better. So the rate at which lactase is produced at a higher rate than it can be removed, resulting in muscle failure.
The way it was explained to me in college was as if you had a faucet and it was on full force, the water's coming out, and the drain is open, but eventually the water's going to start building up in the sink. So the water is going to start building up and it's still draining. It's just not draining fast enough for the water to not rise. And so eventually the water will start overflowing out of the tub.
Your output your input are not equal.
Yes. Okay. So your muscles would then fail.
Oh, well that fits. Like if you're doing, say, 3 sets of 10 reps. By the end of the second set, you're like, man, that's tough. And you're taking the same amount of rest breaks in between. But that's what working to failure is. By the middle of the third set, you might be struggling. And it might be really hard to finish. Or you might have to drop your weight down to a lower weight or something like that to finish. So, okay, that fits. I understand that, I think. So our last definition is the talk test itself. It is a technique used to measure intensity during exercise in a field or non-laboratory setting. The individual is asked whether or not they can speak comfortably or with effort. If the person is not having trouble, they are in the positive stage. If they are having trouble, though, they are in the equivocal stage, which is the intensity relative to their ventilatory threshold. If they cannot speak comfortably, then they are in the negative stage, which is respiratory compensation threshold. So the CDC definition is the talk test is a simple way to measure relative intensity. In general, if you're doing moderate intensity activity, you can talk but not sing during the activity. So that makes sense. Like when you're singing, especially if you've been in any sort of choir situation, music class at school or church or, you know, some sort of something like that, you are taught to breathe in phrases. So you don't want to breathe in the middle of a phrase. And you want to try to, especially in your section, you want to try to stagger your breath a little bit because it's extra funny once you start hearing it, but you hear an entire group breathe at the same time and it's much louder and more noticeable. So you want to try to stagger a little bit, but you want to breathe in a phrase. So I can understand why it would be you can't sing because you're having to sustain your output of air much longer before you're getting your next input.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're talking, you could breathe after every word if you wanted to. You might sound like a crazy person, but you could if you really wanted to. You know, unofficially, I guess the field setting that they described, my fiance is into cycling. So mm-hmm. he rode his bike with his grandparents when he was growing up. Graduated to a road bike in, I don't know, preteen, teenager years. Not competitively, but he's done some of those fun race, bike race type things, fundraiser races, rides, that sort of stuff. There's a Hotter in Hell in Texas that they'll drive to, his grandpa and him will drive to and do. And it's, or you know, several miles, 100 miles, I think is how they... It's crazy. I'm not doing that one. But when we first started dating, we thought it might be a hobby that we could get into, that he could get me into something, activity we could do together. So we were riding around. There's some trails around a lake here. And it was not fair or funny at the time, but he would blow past me, ride up, and then ride back to me. It's like the little kid thing. Like he's using double the energy to go and come back to me and go and come back to me while I'm just sitting there like hoofing it, doing my best, trying to go. And he would want to talk. And I'd be like, how? Correction. I would be like, how in the heck are you talking right now? I can't. And he would ask me questions. And finally, after... I don't know how many times it took. I'd just be like, why do you do that? And he goes, it's the talk test. He goes, I can tell how hard you're really working. He said, not that I think you're faking, but, you know, sometimes we will, our perceived rate of exertion might be a little bit more in our minds than what's actually going on. And so what he had said was he was trying to see really how hard I was working by making me try to do something more natural. And a bunch of workout programs, video type workout stuff that I've done on Beachbody, and, you know, people, same thing. Like, how are you talking right now? Or I'm going to stop and, you know, check everybody's form and stuff because I can't continue talking and coaching you if I'm doing this with you. Like, this is too intense. This is too hard to kind of do that at the same time. So I, from my personal experience, I think it's a valid test. It is very difficult to try to remember to breathe and do that stuff at the same time. I'm very interested in what this paper is, what it's about, what they're going to find, because I definitely have my own non-laboratory experiences with this talking thing.
I like your story about the talk test. But today's paper is by Deal, Foster, Jamie, McCat, and Radke, and Picar. This came out in 2020, so this one's a little bit older, but it came out during the pandemic, so kudos to them.
Mm-hmm. They got work done when... No.
They did.
Not a lot of other people could.
So this is called, Can the Talk Test Be Used to Predict Training-Induced Changes in Ventilatory Threshold?
I'm going to venture a guess and say, yes, it can.
We'll find out.
Stay tuned.
It was published in the Kinesiology Journal. So the purpose of this paper was to see if the change in ventilatory threshold can also be observed during the talk test. So basically, is there a laboratory setting gas exchange measurement, which is your ventilatory threshold? Can it be observed just as well in a field test, also known as the talk test?
Hmm.
So participants were recreationally trained, and they were healthy males and females. Participants recorded their training regimen for 2 weeks prior to the baseline testing, and then they recorded their CR10 RPE and how long they participated in exercise.
Well, I'm very excited that the ladies get to be included in this one, I must say.
Me too.
What is the CR10 business?
That's the category ratio 10 RPE scale. So that's the scale that we talked about in a previous episode. Is that 0 to 10 scale.
Oh. Our perceived rate of exertion.
Yes.
Episode. Check it out.
Little plug there. So testing consisted of two maximal exercise tests 48 hours apart on a cycle ergometer. The two tests were in random order of the TOC test or the VO2 measuring.
What is an ergometer?
Ergometer is like a bike.
The testing consisted of two maximal exercise tests 48 hours apart on a cycle ergometer. So they did, what's a maximal exercise? Like going to failure or?
Yeah, a maximal exercise test would be not necessarily going to failure, but you're going to max. You're going to all out an effort.
Okay, so an all out sprint sort of thing on a stationary bike.
Yes.
Okay.
And the two tests were done random order from the TOC test, or they measured the gas exchange of VO2 in the respiratory rate.
Is that where you wear like the mask thing? And
mm-hmm. So that's like your lab setting versus your field setting. These tests were then performed a second time 6 weeks later. Within 12 hours of their last training session. Heart rate and the CR10 scale were recorded at the end of each of the tests, the maximal tests. And for the TOC test, participants were asked to recite the rainbow passage, as they called it, which is a 101-word length paragraph.
What do they do? Like hold it up in cue cards? So...
Because
I was like, I can't memorize 100 and, well, I probably could.
They probably had it on a piece of paper and had them read it out loud.
Oh my gosh. That's double hard. You're asking me while cycling, which if you're doing it properly, you're not bouncing up and down. But, you know, you're moving.
Mm-hmm.
And that is difficult to read and then have to say it out loud.
I agree.
And breathe.
Well, and I think it's different, too, when it was like a normal TOC test in the field setting, you'd ask a question and then you would do a short answer, maybe a 1 to 2 sentence answer. But this is a 101 word answer.
Oh. That's a, yeah. I mean, I kind of like it, though, because if you ask somebody an open-ended question that you would expect at least 1 to 2 sentences an answer, like, what did you study in school or something like that? You're probably going to get different, you're absolutely going to get different lengths of answers from different people. By doing it this way, everybody is saying the same thing, you know, because everybody's saying the same 100 words. So I kind of like it in a test setting. It's,
yeah, that's true.
They're controlling a variable.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, guys and gals and others.
So the participants, when they were done reading their 101-word paragraph, they were asked about their comfort level while speaking or while reading the paragraph. So their answers could be recorded as yes, yes, but, or no.
Yeah, I am a yes, but, like, all the time.
Oh, yeah. For the results, there were 13 participants in the study, 7 males and 6 females. The average age was 21.7 years for males, and females were 19.6 years.
Ugh, kids.
Yeah, college age participants. Their training load significantly increased from baseline to post.
What does that mean?
Their training load? So how much they were training, how much they were exercising.
Oh, so just by participating in the study, they exercised more than they had been prior to the study? No?
No, their test.
training load significantly increased from baseline to post.
Well, I guess you're right.
That's what I was trying to figure out. Like, what's our baseline here? And does post mean post-study?
No. So their baseline results were the 2 weeks prior that they did their recalls. Hmm. And then their training during increased. So there were no significant differences in VO2 or the talk test from pre to post training. However, there were significant differences in peak power output and peak and power output at the ventilatory threshold.
What does that mean?
So your peak power output is just the highest amount of power that you put out during the exercise test.
Okay.
And total power output is your power output. So it's kind of like overall, here's my power output.
Hmm.
So there are no significant differences for power output changes in the talk test from pre to post, even though it did show an increase. It just wasn't enough to be significant.
Hmm.
So what does that mean?
I am not sure this time. I have to be honest. This one is a little more complicated than the other two.
It is a little bit more complicated. So there were changes in the ventilatory threshold and there were changes in the talk test results, as in the talk test and the ventilatory threshold were better at post than they were at baseline. So the talk test, they could go longer.
Hmm.
They could work harder.
So kind of what you would expect normal cardio training improvements to do.
Yes.
Okay.
So what they found really was that ventilatory threshold is probably still more accurate way to do it, but the talk test can show improvement, even though it can't maybe show the minute improvements that you'd be looking for with a lab test.
Well, I guess that's kind of goes back to, you know, the bike riding. So my fiance is not a professional cyclist. He is not a cycling trainer, but, you know, he'd been doing it for long enough to be that cheerleader, to push me, to help me, you know, do more than I think I could do, which most of us, that's the case, especially with anything new that we're kind of trying like that. And if we did it regularly, then that would help me see some benefits over time. So, mm-hmm. like, if we did the same ride course and he maybe picks the hardest part, the uphill, there's a part of the lake on the trail that's more exposed, and typically we were always riding into the wind, which anyone who bike rides or runs or anything knows going into the wind is more, makes it harder. You have to work harder. Mm-hmm. So, like, if he'd have done this talk test, made me say the same thing, whatever, at that same point when it is the hardest, and it's typically towards the end of the race, at the end of our ride, so I would already be tired and ready to stop. But it's kind of the nice thing about running and bike riding, I guess, is you can't just stop. You have to go to where the car is.
Yes.
That's your motivation to keep going. I just got to get to the car. It's over there. I've only got that much farther to go. We can do this. It's okay. We're going to make it. But I think that would have some positive mental things, you know. Mm-hmm. It would positively impact your motivation, and, you know, it lets you see, again, sort of your perceived rate of exertion, like, mm-hmm. but you can see improvements, and any sort of progress like that, I think, is a good motivator for most people.
Right.
I mean, it is for me, so.
Right, exactly.
All right.
Well, and that's one of the limitations of the talk test, is that it is a perceived thing, so mm-hmm. that was something that the authors mentioned, was that with that being a perception, there may people, there were people in the test that they thought should have been a no or a yes, but they were still saying yes whenever they did the talk test. But because that's what the participant answered, the researcher couldn't do anything about it. So that's one thing about perception that is a limitation, is people may not let their, or people let their pride get in the way.
That's a really good point. Yeah. You don't, you may not want to admit defeat, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you're in a testing scenario, because then you may like want to show off.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about the unintended bias of the researcher, but that's a good point about unintended bias of the research participant. You know, they might want to, some of it, you know, some people like me tend to, we're a bit of an Eeyore type. We tend to gravitate towards the negative. So we might scale things more difficult on the scale than somebody else who's typically a more positive outlook type of person. And you've got people who, you know, no, they probably, they shouldn't know the researcher, but actually this is something I have too, but you wish, you enjoy feeling helpful and useful. And so you want to be helpful, and you think you're being helpful by answering yes, instead of really looking at it. And so, yeah, it's subjective in the person giving their interpretation in their answer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's subjective because the researcher just kind of has to, well, we said yes means this, and we said yes but means this. So, yeah. All right. Yeah. That's tough. That is where the VO2, I mean, would give firm
measures. Yeah, you can't
lie. Yeah.
You can't lie with VO2, that I know of, anyway. Some other things that I thought were limiting factors were the, there's no familiarization test. The talk test, whenever you do that, it's not a consistent measure, in the sense of they only had to do it one time per stage, instead of like with the gas exchange is measured throughout the entire 3 minutes of the stage. Whereas the talk test is done just near the end of that 3 minutes.
Do you think it would make a difference if somebody were a fast talker versus a slow talker?
Oh, definitely. Because that changes your breathing.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I knew I was on the right track with my question. I just didn't know why.
Yeah, you were. You were.
That happens a lot.
And so, it's the same thing, too, with the rate of perceived exertion scale being perception. So they measured exercise at baseline and with training as a part of that with RPE, which is not a problem. It's just that it's perception. So it's just something to always be aware of.
Yeah. And, you know, you can't assume everybody's ridden a bike before either, even if it's a stationary bike. I mean, you could have.
Well, and with exercise test, you have to go certain cadence as well. So yeah, you'd have to practice keeping that cadence.
So I wonder if it was a decision not to do the familiarization session.
It was. They mentioned it in the paper that they felt that it was not necessary in this situation.
Do you think they may be not as formal as a screening question, but, you know, do you think they maybe brought it up in the conversations with the participants of, have you ever ridden a bike or stationary bike before?
I don't know.
If everybody had, then...
it's not something I would have thought of, so I don't know. Well, thank you all for listening today. You know what to do.
Yeah. You gotta hit us up on the socials. Ask us questions. Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, website, exerciscienceTLDR.com. Use the hashtag ESTLDR and we'll see it if we're paying attention. No, I'm just kidding. But yep, thank you guys for listening. Tell your friends, check out the other episodes, and have a great day. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Laters.
Thank you for listening to the Exercise Science TLDR podcast show. If you want to hear more from us, please write a review and subscribe. Join us online at exerciscienctldr.com. Remember, if it's too long and you didn't read it, we read it so you don't have to.